The median sales price of a home in Q1 of 2024 was over $420,000. I know for many of you, homes sell for way more than that where you live. The great news is that there are plenty of places where you can buy properties with good cash flow in great areas for $100,000 or less. I'm coming out with a free training in a few weeks that's going to teach you exactly what you need to do to invest out of state successfully. And you can watch it at your own pace. In the meantime, I have two free resources that I want you to download today. The first is a remote landlord's toolkit. This toolkit is going to empower you to overcome the concerns that you have about managing rental properties remotely. The second is a creative financing playbook. This is going to provide you with proven strategies to finance your real estate deals. You can find the links to these resources in the description of this episode, or you can go to blackrealestatedialogue.com and hit the resources tab. So be sure to download your free resources today. I mean, it's free, right? You have nothing to lose. You have everything to gain. Download your guys today.
Excuse me. May I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Do you really think investing in real estate is too expensive? Well, you wrong about that. Presenting a beginner's guide to buying your first out-of-state property, a Black Real Estate Dialogue course. That's right, it's the new course presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue, teaching you how to develop the investor's mindset, the advantages of investing out of state, getting your finances in order, finding the right location, assembling your team, creating financing strategies, how to find and analyze properties, how to find tenants, real-life case studies, and so much more in bonus content.
Oh yeah, did we mention you have lifetime access?
My goodness! If you have dreams of buying a property out of state but have no idea where to start, well, this is the guide for you. Learn the tips from someone with firsthand experience.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 90. We had some technical difficulties last week, but we are back and looking forward to dropping this week's episode. A few quick announcements before we get into this week's episode. Don't forget to subscribe on whichever platform you're listening to this on. Also, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. All of that takes less than 30 seconds, and it really helps us to move up in the rankings and spread this message to more people. So thank you in advance for supporting us in that way. This episode is sponsored by the Bread Real Estate Investing Community. If you're looking for a group of like-minded individuals and exclusive access to experienced real estate investors, look no further. Each month, we have two masterclasses that are taught by experienced guest speakers in various areas of real estate. You also have unlimited access to past guest speaker recordings as soon as you join. You also have access to our private Slack channel to engage in daily discussion with everyone in the community, to share resources, and also to support one another. Best of all, you can try us out for 7 days for just $1. That's right, 7 days for just $1. Check out the content, see if it's a good fit. If you'd like to continue to stay with us, which I think you do, it's a very affordable rate. So definitely make sure you join. If you're interested, click the link below in the show notes or go to blackrealestatedialogue.com. Last announcement before we get into this episode, I finally had a chance to meet my new tenants. We had a conversation over Zoom. We had a great conversation. It was good to just make that connection, make sure things are going well. They're enjoying the property. The family is enjoying the property. So very glad I got to touch base with them. So more to come on that, on how things are going. Without further ado, let's get into this episode. I'm really excited about this episode. My guy, Marion Lee, is back for a second time. Let's get into it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Before we get into this interview, if you haven't already, please subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating and review. It helps us to reach more people with this message. It also helps us move up in the rankings. So thank you so much for helping us in that way. And also, if you want to join the Bread Real Estate Investing Community, you can do so for just $1 for your first week. If you're interested, go to blackrealestatedialogue.com or click the link below in the show notes. Very excited for this episode today. I have an alum of the show, episode 24 guest, Marion Lee out of LA. Marion, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me back.
Definitely. My pleasure. And so for those who may not have heard your first interview, and maybe this is their first time hearing about you and hearing about who you are, Could you let them know who you are and what you do?
Yeah. So I'm based in Southern California, but I am a long distance investor. So I invest in the Hampton Roads area of Virginia. I do buy and holds. I do some blips. And coming up, hopping into the short-term rental game. So I do a little bit of everything, but I do it from a distance. And while doing that, I still have a 9-to-5. So kind of growing and developing this rental business while still maintaining my professional career.
Definitely, definitely. So many people would call you crazy for investing long distance. Can you talk about why you're not crazy and why you decided to do it and why it's something people should consider, especially if they live in a place that is just way too expensive to come in as an investor?
Yeah, I decided to do it because the like barrier to entry and the cost was so much lower. Like being in LA, it's one of the most expensive markets, right? And getting started, it's a lot easier to get started with a $45,000 property versus a $700,000 property. So that's really why I started at a distance, because it was a lower barrier to entry. And by that, it means like, I think capital, it required less capital is really what it is. Like the same barriers are there, right? You need to get funding, you got to find a deal, you got to do all those things. But at a distance, I was able to find a market that required less capital for me to start. So that's why I started out of state, but I stay out of state just because I've set up a team, set up a system. And again, I can continue to get cash flow and not have to put up as much capital. So that's why I started. That's why I stay out there, lower cost, basically, to get started and get in and out of deals.
Definitely, definitely. I agree with you, man. That's same thing for me. You know, I'm here in LA as well. And, yeah. You know, if you're just trying to buy a property just as an investment, it's very difficult. Most people don't have six figures laying around. And, you know, the return is just better if you want to live in an expensive place and go elsewhere. You know, there's plenty of opportunities. So it was the same thing for me. So, I mean, it's not crazy. You know, we've had multiple other people on the show talk about long distance investing. Yeah. So, I mean, I encourage it for people who can't invest where they're at, and, you know, especially those in like coastal places or just expensive cities, which is probably a lot of people listening to this.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Definitely. So how was COVID for you? There are so many investors who didn't have the greatest of times during the pandemic, you know, due to people losing their jobs, tenants not being able to pay. I'm sure people ended up in tough situations with their properties. But how was it for you?
I made through the pandemic really well as far as people paying. I think I've had a couple tenants not being able to pay, but both of those tenants were able to receive rent relief through like the state of Virginia. And so while those months were a little bit tougher on the cash flow because I wasn't receiving that cash flow, I did end up like making it back. Actually, now that I think about it, it's probably like three tenants have been able to receive rental assistance. So through the pandemic, it's gone really well. And I don't even say through the pandemic, because I know we're still in it, because I've had two tenants this month like, hey, man, I got the bid. So they're out of work. So I think it's still affecting cash flow. These two tenants are like this month, I think, you know, they're going to bounce back and they'll be, you know, within 1 month and they'll catch up and catch themselves up. But the tenants early last year, you know, they got behind a couple of months, but there's enough money out there in assistance to help them catch up. So I've been able to maintain the portfolio pretty well through the whole pandemic.
Got it. How many doors are you at now?
Right now, 20 doors.
Got it. 17 out of 20. Yeah. That's a pretty good rate considering everything that happened last year.
Yeah. It's a blessing, like, to be able to, you know, have people that, you know, are able to pay, able to like stay in the properties. And I think too, it goes a little bit to like the screening, right? Like even people that haven't been able to pay on time because they've had different financial situations, they've communicated and it's like, hey, like, this is my situation. I'm going to be a little bit late. And I think one of the big things for just like investors was not even was, but is and always is like compassion, empathy and understanding. Like, just like we go through things, like as much as we want to look at this as a business, like people go through things, and it's understanding that, like, yo, like, this person's having a hard time, and, you know, being a little understanding and letting them pay a month, or not even a month, like maybe a month, right? A month late, hit them with the late fee, but don't, not like constantly being on them to pay, could go a long way in helping someone kind of get out of a bad position. So that's what I've tried to do this whole time. I think I generally try to do that with my tenants is, you know, understand that, like, people go through things, and sometimes, you know, getting me money isn't the number one priority, which I would like it to be, but I understand it not being all the time.
Definitely. How do you strike that balance between being compassionate, being human, and being a landlord and running a business? Like, how, what has helped you kind of strike that balance to the best of your ability?
I think there, it's like fairness and kind of like having some discernment, right? So fairness, I say that meaning like kind of treat everyone the same, right? Like, if you are going to be late, like, all right, I understand. I'm not going to call you, send you a 5-day pay or vacate notice or things like that, but I'm going to hit you with a late fee, right? Because I have to treat everyone the same. So that's one way of doing it. And one way, one thing that I do on the like kind of running a business side is letting and understanding that things happen, but not letting people get into a cycle or creating a habit out of paying late or not paying, right? If like you have a bad month and, you know, things are off, I can hit you with a late fee, wait to collect rent on, I don't know, the 16th, right? But if every month there's something going on, then it's, you're not having a bad month. You either are in a property that like something has changed with you financially, you can no longer really afford to be in, mm-hmm. or you're trying to take advantage of me and my kindness. So I think it's just a balance and using discernment, right? Like one time, okay, cool. Two, all right. Three times, this is going to be a habit, and we have to, you know, be a little more aggressive with the pay or vacate notices and mm-hmm. bringing on the evictions or ending a lease.
Makes sense. I'm glad you mentioned that. Is there anything you observed in the market you invest in during COVID? I'm not sure if you continued to purchase and do different things in the last year or so, but were there any changes in the market since the pandemic?
Not really. I feel like my market, I feel like, is a smaller microcosm of like the overall market, right? So I think things have been as competitive or like a little more competitive recently. I think prices are going up. Properties that were selling for 125, 115 2 years ago are up at like 160. That's just like inflation, right? We're seeing that across the board. But at the same time, I've been able to find deals. So you actually like how to like growing units or buy more units this year, been able to like 100-fold the portfolio. So I think beginning of the year was at 9 units and I'm at 20 now. So been able to pick up 11 units this year in this competitive COVID market. So I think there's still deals out there. It's just, you know, just seeing all those factors at play and being mindful of them.
Definitely. So you mentioned 11 units this year during a time when a lot of people who wanted to invest and perhaps had the means to invest were just scared because it's unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen. What was it for you that was like, you know what, forget all that. I'm still going to buy properties. I've still got a formula that I believe works and I'm going to continue to proceed.
Yeah. So I do. Like, I couldn't stop buying properties if I wanted to, right? I think I made the decision when I started investing that I was going to play offense. And by that, I mean, like, I'm going to go chase deals. I'm going to go be in the game. I'm not going to sit back and wait and play defense and play, like, scared. In playing offense, though, like, you play offense with defense in mind. So I'm still buying properties, but as I'm looking at deals and analyzing deals, I'm seeing if the deal would work if the ARV fell 20 or 30%, right? If that deal still works, then there's a deal to be had there. And that's one way that gives me confidence to continue to buy in what some people may call a bubble, is to analyze and say, like, all right, if we are in a bubble and the bubble burst while I have this property, can I still execute my exit strategy? And that's what's given me the confidence to continue to stay at it, to continue to play offense, It's just, you know, playing offense with defense in mind.
Definitely. I like that a lot. And one thing I mentioned is one thing you mentioned that I'm picking up is that you have a plan. You're analyzing prior to buying. You're not just buying stuff for the sake of buying. You're taking all factors into consideration and not blindly buying a property, which is something that I want people to really understand and focus on. Because this is what it takes to recognize whether or not you're getting a good or a bad deal. And so I'm glad that you broke that down for people to understand that.
Yeah. Like, it's all in the numbers, but you have to be looking at the right numbers. So we always talk about numbers in real estate, but if you're not looking at the right numbers and using the right numbers, you might as well not really be analyzing. Might as well just, you know, throw something out there and try to buy something. So I rely heavily on the numbers in this, considering like, hey, we may have a correction at some point, and will I be good if we still have a correction?
Definitely. So you expanded pretty rapidly this year. Can you talk about some of the financing strategies you use to scale that quickly this year?
I think the scaling is two things. The financing strategy has not changed, right? So I use a mixture of private money, hard money, and my money, right, to finance the deals. And so financing them has not changed. I think one thing that has changed is I continue to brand myself amongst my friends and people that I know. So I'm continuing to receive private money investors, new people that are willing to invest with me. On the other side of that is I'm continuing to find deals. And I think one thing that has really contributed to the growth this year is the relationship that I have with, like, I want to say my primary wholesaler, like the only wholesaler that I buy from, really. When he finds a deal, like, sometimes he doesn't even have them under contract. He'll give me the address. He'll give me everything for me to, like, work with him. And then I let him go out and lock it up. And he's been finding me multifamily deals. So the first couple years that I was buying deals, I was buying single family houses. This year, I've bought more multifamily properties. So when you're buying them in multiples, it helps you scale up the number of doors quicker. So I think those two things are what has really helped me. Well, it's like really three things, right? So it's branding amongst my peers. It's the influx of private capital that's continued to come in, and then finding multifamily deals and working with this one person. And I've never asked him, but I'm probably his, like, number one cash buyer, like his guy. And those three things have helped me continue to grow, and I think will continue to help me grow. Have some more in the pipeline, though. Want to close out the year very strong. And those same factors are contributing to that.
Definitely. And wholesalers get a bad rap, as I'm sure you know. Clearly, you've found one who works well with you and meets your criteria. What are some tips you can give to someone that helped you understand that this wholesaler was actually legit and bringing you good deals?
Tips. I think communicating with them, like, early on. I don't remember how I even found this wholesaler. But having a criteria, really having a defined criteria for myself, and being able to communicate that criteria to him, helps him know what types of deals to bring me. And then once we have, like, that understanding, being able to close on, like, the first one or two deals that they bring you. So they understand, like, all right, if I find something that fits his criteria, I bring it to him, he's gonna close it. And I think them having that confidence in me allows them to bring me deals confidently and want to bring me deals because they get paid. I think the other thing is to be open to letting them get paid, right? Like, they're providing you a service. And a lot of times the wholesaler that I work with doesn't even, like, hide what he's making in an assignment fee. And it's like 20, 10, 15 grand on these deals. But I don't mind because, you know, he's providing me a service and I value the service that he's providing me. And so I don't have any issue with him getting paid for the value he's providing. So I think that's a really big thing, is having that mutual, like, respect of you're providing me value, I'm providing you value, and it's a working relationship. And then, like anything, communication in that relationship is pivotal. I think those would be the things. On top of that, though, I think, like, knowing your numbers and being able to work with and communicate, like, numbers. I was talking to him today, actually, and he sent me a deal. And I looked at it and I'm like, well, this is my number. And he was like, that's not going to work. Like the ARV is this. And I was like, well, not even say, he's like, the ARV is like 300. And I was like, send me whatever comps you're seeing because I don't see that. And he sent them to me. I took a look and I provided him feedback. And he was like, ah, all right, I see what you're saying. All right. We didn't end up like going any further with the deal, but just that open line of communication where I know my numbers, I can communicate the numbers and then we can kind of have open communication. It's just a testament of those three things that I just talked about.
Got it. So it seems like this is the first time I heard anyone mention the other side, like as a buyer, you being able to actually close when they bring you a good deal that fits your criteria. And I wonder if people are just reaching out to wholesalers just to get deals, get on their list, but never actually end up closing anything, even when something comes across their desk that does match their criteria. So, I also wonder how much of that is part of the stigma, if you will, but that's a very good point. Definitely.
They're running a business.
Yep. Absolutely.
Are you looking for a community of like-minded individuals and access to experts in real estate? Yeah. Are you interested in real estate, but need more support and guidance? You know who it is. The Black Real Estate Dialogue presents the Real Estate Investing Community. No matter how much or how little real estate experience you have, we've created a community for you. Because your perspective is important. All right, tell me, where's the number one place where you can do Q&A with experienced guest speakers 2 times per month? How about unlimited access to past guest speakers' recordings? What about a private Slack channel to engage in daily discussion with everybody in the community to share resources and support each other? Head on over to blackrealestatedialogue.com. That's blackrealestatedialogue.com. It's the real estate investing community presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue. Come join us today.
I agree. And I think something else you mentioned that was great as well is just the fact that as a buyer, you have to know your numbers. You have to know what you're looking for. And I like also the fact that you have a relationship where you're able to give the wholesaler feedback and it's not personal. It'll help him bring you better deals and it'll help him make money and help you make money too. So I think in a perfect scenario, it can be beneficial to both parties.
Absolutely.
Definitely. So some listeners may know, some may not. You have helped me tremendously with this, with my personal investing, with the rehab, with finding a tenant, all the headaches, even to this day, literally this day. So one thing that I picked up from you, among many other things, is the importance of having great boots on the ground and having a team, especially as an out-of-state investor. So can you talk more about those two things and your opinion on why they're so important?
Yeah, I think, so you talked about two things. So boots on the ground, I think just make the day-to-day of managing, self-managing, right? So I think one thing that I always forget is there's a whole other side of like having rental properties where you get a property manager and just don't even have to deal with it. So anyone like brand new, you do not have to self-manage. That's what I've chosen to do. Sam does it as well. So, but going back to the self-managing side, boots on the ground are really important because it takes some of the concern or stress about just the small day-to-day things that you need to do within managing your property. It eliminates that. It lets you get you some help doing those things. It also helps you like with a set of eyes, right? So I manage and sometimes you can get a video, you can get a picture, but you know, having an actual set of eyes sometimes goes so much further than a picture or a video. And videos are pretty good. So like boots on the ground really help be like an extension of you locally. I think the importance of a team is that it's even like it's a further extension of yourself. If you had like layers of like yourself going outwards, boots on the ground would probably be like layer one. A team would be like layer 1.5 because they're that important. They are able to provide like industry expertise on things that the boots on the ground sees or and may not understand, or that they have expertise and see things that the boots on the ground may not even see. And then as you have different issues, they're able to resolve those issues. So when I think of like my team, I think of a few core people. My realtor, she sells all my properties and helps me make offers on like new properties I'm buying. But she also helps me with like tenant placement. Like as I have rentals come available, she will gather like checks. I had a tenant that was only paying cash when I bought the unit, and she like wouldn't collect cash. So she's like the star. She's like the point guard of my team. Then I have like a handyman, and he's, you know, can handle most of everything handy. Then there's the electrician, there's the HVAC guy. And I know all these people by name, and the importance of them and having them is when I do get a maintenance issue or there's an issue that like my boots on the ground can't fix, these people are able to go and just knock it out. And just like a team member, like if you think about like sports, is they have your back. And it's bigger than just having a contact and knowing this person's phone number. But when you work with this person over and over and you build the relationship and you feel like they're on your team and they feel like you're on your team, then they will prioritize your jobs. So even if they're busy, they'll be like, all right, I'll squeeze you in. And that goes a long way in reducing the stress of just self-managing, knowing that you can call upon someone and rely on them to actually do what they're going to say, do what they said they're going to do, do it in a timely fashion, and do it at a fair price. It's a long-winded answer, but those are, I think, the importance of those two aspects.
Absolutely. And I think the amazing thing about it is you can do it all from a cell phone.
It's really, really, really amazing. Yeah, it's amazing because you look at like things like Google Drive, you look at things like even like the iCloud. I have an iPhone. I think Google, if you have an Android, can do like the similar things, but text messages and email with stored documents on those two platforms, I pretty much operate everything from my phone. So it's really interesting to see how things happen like that, like how you can literally run a business from your phone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And something else is you, throughout my rehab process, you helped me save like thousands of dollars through helping me learn how to negotiate with contractors, which clearly is a very valuable skill and is something that's important because obviously we know the numbers mean a lot. So can you discuss a bit about, you know, working with contractors and just the importance of negotiating for a fair price for just whatever job you might need done?
Yeah. I think you said, you know, right? Like the importance of negotiating because the numbers either affect your cash flow or your returns if you're doing a flip. So the numbers are just so important. But I think having an understanding of what a good number even is the root of negotiation, right? So I think when we're talking about like paint and flooring and things like that, knowing how much per square foot a painter usually charges you. And so my market is like $2 and a half, $3 a square foot, right? I can get anything painted. And knowing that if someone comes back and it's $4 or $5 per square foot, then you know that number's out of whack. And then you can have an objective conversation with the contractor saying, hey, like, you know, you're at this price. I was kind of thinking about this price, and your price, you know, is fair based on what it is in the market. So part of negotiation is really having some good facts to rest on. I think one of the other tricks, not even a trick, but a fact that I've learned over time is like when you are dealing with a new contractor, especially someone you've never worked with before, they're going to give you a number, and this number is not what they expect you to accept. They're just testing you to see if you will pay it. And they know that they have room to come down. They kind of give you a number and leave room for them to negotiate down and really get to their number. I've found that they usually have between like 25 and 30% markup on their original number. That's just kind of the rule. So whenever I hear a number, I'm looking like 30% of that. Okay, cool. Let's come down here. Is that fair? Okay, let's try to negotiate down to this fair number. And with that though, it's part of negotiation is not trying to get a win on someone and then lose. It is to make the outcome a win-win for both people. So, hey, you're able to perform this job for me and still make some money to take home to your family. I'm able to get this job done at a fair price and keep my numbers in whack. So I think having an understanding of what you should pay is like the root of everything. And then you can really drive an objective conversation once you know.
Definitely. So this year has been really, really good for you so far, 11 units, and you have some flips going on. What are you looking forward to for the rest of the year and beyond? What does the future look like for you?
Rest of the year, I want to close out the year strong. So I have some things in the pipeline. I have another 4 units like on the board right now. So I want to close those out. And I have another flip in the pipeline. So, you know, when it closed that one out before the end of the year, I probably want to do a couple more units before the end of the year. I think it would be really cool to hit like the 20 mark in 1 year. So I'm going to push for that. And then part of that motivation being, I have a baby. I'm expecting we're expecting our second child here in like the next month or two. So really started looking at buying properties to take care of certain aspects of her cost of living, right? Like we're going to have new costs around daycare or a nanny service. We're going to have at some point want to send her to a certain type of school. So my goal now is to really pivot and start buying properties to take care of living expenses that I know are coming. The first being a nanny. Like my wife thinks I'm crazy, but she was like, this is going to be so expensive. But I think if I can find a property to pay for my nanny, then I'm all good. So that's my immediate goal, is to buy a property to pay for the nanny. But long-term, wanted to continue to grow the portfolio, right? I've really been thinking about not just getting to the point where I'm able to retire. I do want to do that. That is one of my short-term goals, is to leave the corporate world. And I think I'm in a position to do that. So that will be something after the first year that I start looking at kind of make happen. Well, not kind of, make happen. But looking at long-term, how do we start positioning, or how do I start positioning like my kids to be like true trust funds babies? So that's where I want to go, and just to make sure that they're always going to be good. And real estate is the way through that. So real estate and business. So those two things are what's like fueling me to continue to grow the portfolio and the business.
Absolutely. I like that you mentioned some things can seem very expensive, but if you have an asset paying for it, it doesn't seem as expensive once you're in that situation. So I like that you're approaching it that way. Just having the asset, the properties take care of different parts of your cost of living.
Yeah, absolutely. Like when you are able to do that, I feel like it's so empowering, so freeing. Like you don't have to worry about it, right? Like one thing that I'm working on and I'm setting up too is like they just announced that they're gonna have a fully electronic G-Wagon in a couple years. I'm like, all right, I gotta start putting the places together. So in a couple of years when the electronic G-Wagon drops, I can, you know, have a house or two that pays for the G-Wagon. Yeah. But it's so freeing. It's like you literally can have whatever you want when you don't have to worry about the burden of paying for it yourself. You've purchased the asset that can pay for the liability. And I put that in air quotes because even if the house or the asset pays for the G-Wagon, I can use the G-Wagon to be its own asset. So it's really freeing, and it's exciting when you start thinking this way or like living this way, because you can literally have whatever you want if you buy enough assets.
Definitely. I love it. Can you also talk a bit more about your clothing line, Real Estate Apparel Co?
Yeah. So I started this probably a year or two ago, and I really started the apparel line because if you look at different subcultures within America, right, like skateboarders, they have clothes that like really identify them as skateboarders. If you look at like surfers, they really have like attire that brands that you associate with surfing. As real estate investors, there's nothing that really, no brand that we can look and it's like, oh yeah, that guy's an investor. And, you know, if you talk to other investors, you know that there's like a sense of community about some with people that are investors. So I wanted to create something that investors could wear and help identify them amongst other investors and feel like it's something cool, right? Something with a message, something cool, and help them identify in the culture. So that's why I created the brand. And it's been fun trying to, it's a different process than like growing a rental portfolio. I feel like the steps in growing a really rental portfolio are pretty well defined, right? I feel like getting into business and around, especially apparel and marketing, has made me tap into a more creative side. And I'm not the most creative person. So it's been a nice challenge to try to grow the brand And it's also really cool to see people starting to like wear the brand and buy things, because, you know, it's reassurance for me that like the message is getting home. People want to continue to wear these things. This is something that's needed in the marketplace. So excited to come up with some new designs and continue to grow the apparel brand.
Love it. Love it. When you think about leaving the 9-to-5, is there anything that puts you at pause, or are you like, no, when the time is right, I'm ready to go?
The uncertainty of it gives me some pause. Just not knowing, like one of my thoughts now is like, what am I going to do all day? Right. Cause like, if you have a rental portfolio and it's stabilized, like sometimes you don't hear from tenants for months, and it's like, all right. And when you do have an issue again, like having a team, I'm able to text and make phone calls and knock things out. So the uncertainty of what it will be like to break out of the mold that I've been trained to fit into for 30 years is what gives me the most pause. But I've talked to a couple different like friends that I have that have left the 9-to-5 and through real estate investing. And so, you know, I have some reassurance that like, it's going to be all right. So, but I'm still kind of nervous, right? Like yeah. Getting outside of that mold is one thing that gives me some hesitation.
Definitely. Respect the transparency. Definitely is understandable, but I'm sure you'll figure it out and just do it at the best time for you and your family.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things, like you have to take the leap, right? Like if it's right there within reach, and if you don't ever take the leap, you don't know what could be on the other side. I think that, and I think one thing that's been, and I don't talk about her much, but like the support my wife has given me in like this whole like pursuit of leaving 9-to-5 is like next level. And I think even with the uncertainty, like she continues to push me like, no, we're going to be okay. Like do it. And she even thinks like, she's like, you're going to go so much further once you quit. Like I fully support you quitting so you can go next level. And hearing that from my wife, my partner, like is invaluable.
Definitely. The value of choosing the right partner. There it is right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's awesome, man. Well, definitely appreciate you coming back on the show. It's certainly inspirational to see how far you've come since the last time we spoke. I believe it was April of 2020. It's just great to see how things have gone well for you, no matter what's happening in the world, and that you scaled up so quickly this year. And, you know, I also wanted to let the listeners know, I talk a lot about investing out of state. I promote my course, all these things, but I don't do it alone. Marion is definitely the main person really who has been helping me out with all the headaches, even one today, literally today. I'm not joking, y'all. So, you know, I just also want to thank you. Thank you publicly and let everyone know just how much you've helped me through, you know, rehab, finding a tenant, and things that seem to happen every other day now. So I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, not a problem. I love to help. I love real estate. And if my experience could help you or anyone else, totally willing to help. Because I love it, right? It's my love. I'm passionate about it. So thank you for letting me even help you, right? Like some people could kind of be closed off and not willing to receive the help. So thank you for even receiving and listening to my advice, my help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there anything that you want to leave with the listeners to think about? And also, if you could let everyone know where they can follow you, where they can purchase your merch and everything, that'd be great.
Yeah. I feel like there's like different messages that I want to give different people. So different like levels, right? So anyone getting started, like do it, right? Getting started real estate, I feel, is one of the biggest like wealth hacks ever. I've coined the term like wealth evangelist is what I eventually will be, because I truly believe it's like transformational. So get started and things will seem to come at you really fast and things will be very hectic in the beginning. But just like most things, once you get the repetitions, things slow down and it becomes less chaotic. So get started. What else? For anyone else that's like experiencing challenges or having rough periods, like they don't last, right? Like if you just go and fight through it, grind your teeth, there's issues that come up. Sometimes it feels like daily. Keep going. Because again, there's true transformational wealth on the other side of like those struggles. So those are my two messages. If you want to follow me or reach out and contact me, My personal page on Instagram is Legacy Home Solutions. If you want to shoot me a message, I will respond. And then the apparel company is The Real Estate Apparel Co. on Instagram as well. And you can shop there. You can shop directly from Instagram, or you can go online. And it's realestateapparel.co online. Sorry, there's no the. But you can shop on Instagram direct. We have you set up so you don't even have to leave Instagram to shop.
Definitely. Thank you again for coming on the show. Really, really appreciate it. And looking forward to putting this one out.
Thank you for having me again. And you know, whenever you need something, man, just let me know.
Definitely, definitely appreciate it. Thank you everyone for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show, leave us a rating and a review. It'll help us reach a lot of people. It'll help us spread this message as far as we can spread it. If you want to join the Bread Real Estate Investing Community, you can get started for just $1. If you're interested, go to blackrealestatedialogue.com or click the link below in the show notes. Thank you all again for listening. I look forward to seeing you all soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.